It's Radio Free 501c, the podcast of Rogue Tulips Consulting. I'm your host, Cecilia Sopp, and we're so excited to be back for Season 6 and continue bringing you outstanding ideas and thought leaders and different ways of thinking. So don't forget to subscribe because you're not going to want to miss any of it. This week, I'm joined by my friend, Cindy Ziegler. She's a first-time guest, and she's the vice chair of the ASAE Ethics Committee. She's here to talk with us about everyday ethics and give us an update on what the Ethics Committee has planned for the next year. It's March 25th. Welcome to episode 234. Hey, everybody. It's Monday, March 25th. Can you believe it's almost the end of March and the end of the first quarter of 2024? More importantly, though, March is Ethics Awareness Month. And so I'm so excited to have my friend and colleague on the podcast for the very first time, Cindy Ziegler, is the vice chair of the ASAE Ethics Committee. And she's here to talk with us about everyday ethics and their importance to the nonprofit management professional. But before we dive in, I'd like to say good morning, good afternoon, or good evening to our global audience and to everyone. Thank you for joining us. So Cindy, we're here, we're talking ethics, but before we do that, could you say hello to the audience and tell us a little about yourself?
Yes. Hi, audience. And hi, Cecilia. Thanks for having me. This is great. I'm so excited to talk to you about ethics. But first, I'll tell you what I do at APIC. In the daytime, I am the Director of Governance and Special Initiatives, which really entails anything, bylaws, policy, procedure, and that sort of all folds into ethics because ethics is everywhere.
It is. And I'm glad you mentioned that because as somebody who does a lot of work with people preparing for the CAE exam and who work on getting renewal credits, so specifically in the ethics area, we do try to tie that together throughout the whole domains of practice that ethics affect everything. Now, the thing about the Ethics Committee at ASAE, though, is I don't think a lot of people are aware of the committee and the work that they do. So could we start off with you sharing an overview of what the Ethics Committee mission is and their vision and how they help us?
Oh, yes, absolutely, Cecilia. Thanks for asking that question. We're really here to raise awareness of all the tools that ASAE has in ethics, and we'll talk about those today. But the Ethics Committee mission is to foster ethical thinking and behavior for ASAE members and organizations. And then our vision is for all members of the association community to operate with the highest ethical standards.
Hear, hear. Well said. I'm so glad because ethics are so important in everything we do, and not just our work decisions, but our personal decisions as well. So what are some of the resources? You mentioned ASAE has a lot of resources that we can use. So what are some of those resources and how can people use them effectively at their own organization?
Sure. Two of the biggest are the standards of conduct and the toolkit. And I'll talk about the standards of conduct first. There are 7 principles within the standards of conduct. And then what we try to do in the Ethics Committee, and I'll go through all 7 of those, but what we try to do in the Ethics Committee is provide scenarios and then apply these standards of conduct to those scenarios to help people with the gray areas of trying to decide, because ethics are very gray. And I'll just go through what those 7 principles are, because they're very important. The first is to respect and uphold public laws that govern one's work. I mean, that's obvious. And then second one is to champion diversity, equity, and inclusion in your workplace. The third is to commit to conduct all your members' business with honesty, which should be obvious. And then maintaining the confidentiality of information gained through one's work. And the 5th one is striving to act fairly and impartially in all matters. And then 6th is fostering an ethical culture through your actions, which you do every day in your job. And then the last one, which is important, is to hold yourself accountable for your actions. And so anyway, those are the 7 standards of conduct. And I think those are really helpful when you're trying to like make a decision on what you're really not sure what to do. And then the other really important tool we have is the toolkit. And the toolkit has all those things, templates that you think you might need, right, for ethics, like an anti-harassment policy, a template for a code of conduct, whistleblower policy, a social media policy, a vendor relations policy, and one that we're working on now, which is so important, is an artificial intelligence policy. So that's okay. A whole new realm that we're applying ethics to, right? So,
Yeah, and I think that's really important in the area of generative AI more than research tool AI, because I see a very clear difference between those two things. And I use research AI tools, but I do not use generative AI tools, because really what those tools do is they go through the internet and they just find information and put it together. And it's not really original. And I think that's where some confusion comes in as well. And then, of course, you have to worry about fair use policy, intellectual property rights, and all of those other legal issues, as well as the ethical part. So you mentioned that
I'm
you
just
have.
going to just dive in for a second because I'm glad you mentioned that. I'll actually be speaking on generative AI and ethics at ASAE's annual meeting with the media past chair, two chairs ago, of the ethics committee.
Oh, and who is that?
Plug. Lindsay Childress Beatty.
Oh, great. Well,
Yeah,
I'll have to
she's
put that on my.
fabulous. Yeah.
I'm planning to be at annual, and I think
Oh,
that's going to
good.
be an important conversation. And I
I
know
do
Jeff
too.
DeCagna talks about that topic a lot.
Yeah.
And he's been on the podcast a few times, most recently talking about the duty of foresight, which could be seen as an ethical
Sure.
calling to look ahead, because his perspective, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, his perspective is the duty of foresight means you have to think ahead and create a better future for the people coming behind you.
I would
So I think
completely.
that's an ethical exercise. So what do you think of that?
No, I completely agree with that. And especially as it applies to artificial intelligence, because it's not going away and it's moving really quickly. And we can't wait and see what's going to happen. We have to have a plan or have a foresight for sure.
Definitely. I love that. One of the things, now a lot of people know that through Rogue Tulips Consulting's education program, creatively named Rogue Tulips Education, we have an
Love
ethics
it.
course to help people get their ethics renewal. It's one credit every 3 years. I don't want you to feel like I'm putting you on the spot, but what I feel I was like so excited when one ethics credit was added. I would love to see three ethics credit added, like one a year, to keep it top of mind. And I was wondering if you'd ever thought about that. Like, do you ever think, well, maybe we need more than 1 hour every 3 years?
So yeah, and I almost feel like you didn't even know that I was going to say this, but you knew I was going to say this because the ethics committee this year is putting together an online digital course on every single one of the standards. So that's
Oh.
seven. So you could potentially get 7 credits
Wow.
for packaging them as one module each, but it's each one is the standards that I mentioned earlier. There's going to be an hour digital course on each one of those individually.
I think that's a great course lineup
I
to
think
do.
so too.
Seriously, it's like, yes, I have an ethics course. A lot of people have them, but I really love that. I support that approach. That's great. One of the other things people don't realize about our ASAE standards of conduct is that they're for all of us or for all ASAE members, not just CAEs. And another thing that I have come across is people seem to think aspirational means you don't really have to do it. So I explain to people, no, that's to aspire to something means to work toward achieving a goal. So we want to aspire to be more ethical. Do you ever hear people be a little confused about what the definition of aspirational is?
Yeah, I do. And it's interesting that you bring that up because I don't know if I can explain this correctly, but sometimes people think ethics is like not what's right or wrong, but more like it should be what the right thing to do is, but not everybody's definition of the right thing to do is the same,
Right.
right? So, yes, I might aspire to something, you might aspire to something different, right? Which is why we have these policies or these, codes to just guide us. Does that
To
make
help
sense?
us, yeah,
That help us, yeah.
help us make decisions.
Yeah.
And that's good to hear that you have brought that up as well, because one of the things we talk about in our ethics course is that, and I think everybody probably talks about, so save the angry postcards audience, this isn't a marketing piece, but we do talk about the importance of knowing that not everybody comes from the same cultural background and therefore does not have the same ideas. And also, values and morals are not the same.
That's right.
And that is what informs our creation of our own personal ethical code. I also like to say, and this is just my opinion, this is what I say to people, there's right and wrong, and everything in between is a judgment call. And that's where ethics can be very helpful to us to help us manage those decisions.
So what we've done is put together scenarios, because I think that's almost a really easy way for people to sort of maybe tangibly understand, okay, in this situation, what did you do? Or what do you think? Let's go this way. Let's go that way. What do you think is ethical? And we started a advice column on the ethics channel in Collaborate. So if you're not on Collaborate, join the ethics committee, not the ethics committee, the ethics Collaborate station channel.
Collaborate community.
Community, you're right, the community. Thank you. And we just started putting in Edith Ethics is our advice columnist. And
I love it.
Actually, me sometimes. And anyway, we just create these scenarios and then invite people to chime in on what they think they would do. And we found it really interesting.
Oh, and I did see that, and I didn't realize just anyone could join that community. So I'll have to add that to my list.
Yeah.
Because I just always thought this was an important topic well before I started doing any sort of speaking or education on it. I think it's really important. Another thing I'd like to mention and maybe get some more input from you on is the fact that within the ASA Standards of Conduct for Association staff, there's also a concurrent or parallel, whatever word you want to use, version of them for consultants and industry partners. And they're very similar. So could you talk about that a little bit and explain that for the audience?
Yeah. Anybody that you do business with should also be looking at these ethical, criteria, if that's the right word. But yes, I mean, as you know, when you're an association executive, you deal a lot with consultants and outside vendors, and your vendor relations are really important. Your understanding with each other, that you're both acting with honesty and, within the ethics realm, is really important, and we do pay attention to that. That's why we have that as well.
Well, and thank you for giving that additional background, because I think that's important for the consultant members of our ASAE community specifically, but also consultants within nonprofit management overall to understand that just because you're a consultant doesn't mean there's not a version for you. So we're included in that way as well. And you've already mentioned all the tools and resources. You've already mentioned that you're doing a presentation on ethics at the 2024 ASAE annual meeting. Is there anything else coming up in the next year or so that the ethics committee is working on that you can give us a preview of?
Sure. Well, we have six articles in the queue with ASAE. We actually have broken our committee out into three subgroups, one which is working on the standards of conduct, which is the one that I head. And we're actually going to be rolling out a revised toolkit next year. And then we have a research group within the committee, and they're working on raising awareness through like articles, podcasts, webinars, whatever we can do to get the information out to associations and consultants that we actually do have this. And then articles, presentations, and webinars is a separate group, but they're also like constantly working on ways to get information out, because it's unfortunate that not a lot of people know that all these resources are there. Another thing, sorry, ASAE, it's very hard to find all these documents on the ASAE website. They are aware of that. So we're just working on trying to make that easier. I know they're going to launch a new website next year. But just to be able to find, the standards of conduct in the toolkit is really, should be more accessible. So we're working with them on that.
That's great. And I hope the new website includes a better search function.
That is an issue, the search function now.
Yeah, the search function is a little clunky, because it just brings up like everything. Like you could very specifically say, I want the membership directory, and it brings up like 80 articles on membership. And it's like, well, that's great.
They're aware of that. And I know, I know that they're working hard toward that. They're such great volunteers. So I try not to be too hard on them sometimes, but yes, the search function's hard.
Yeah, and the volunteers I know work on taxonomy and content, but the actual infrastructure of the website
Oh,
is
yeah.
where the contractor is,
Sure.
and that's what I'm talking about. I
Yeah.
don't hold volunteers accountable for the outcomes.
No.
I'm already enough on the house with ASAE, but saying anything like that, no. But I've actually, years ago, I had actually participated in several taxonomy efforts as a volunteer, where you answer questions about where would you think you would find this, where would you want it to flow
Yeah,
next.
that's great.
They're doing that again. So, and I just do. Speaking of the ASAE website, I do want to give a shout out to the chat function where you can talk to a staff member
It's
because
amazing.
it's wonderful. They do a great job.
They
So,
do. They do.
shout out to everyone. My personal favorite, Liz Ray. So I'm just going to put that out there.
I think we might just get our own person because I seem to get the same person every time.
Yeah, I just, well, and if it's Liz, I will definitely be like, oh, Liz, can you help me? Because she's like so good at the follow-up. Not that everybody else is bad at follow-up. I'm just saying I usually do
Great.
end up talking to Liz and she does a great job. So
That's great. And the other
supervise.
thing I wanted to say, you touched on it at the beginning a little bit, but it is National Ethics Month. I mean, we
Yeah.
should be thinking about ethics every month, but this is the month where I think if you're an association member, you might see lots and lots of things about ethics this month, right? I know Michelle Mason just put out a letter, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, announcing that it's National Ethics Month. It's also National Women's History Month, and might be a month for something else too, but
Yeah, and I know it was International Women's Day
oh
this month.
yeah.
So in addition to our month, and you're right, Cindy, I've seen a lot more things coming out about ethics this month. But I agree with you, ethics is an everyday thing. It's not just in March. I did see Michelle's letter. I thought it was very good. It raised awareness and it pointed out again all the resources you shared with us that are available to the members, to help them develop an ethics program and make ethical decisions. So, but before we wrap up the episode, Cindy, our approach and when we're talking about ethics for the nonprofit management profession is to talk about the power of the individual to make an ethical decision and to exhibit ethical behavior. So, do you have any advice or thoughts on that for the individual nonprofit organization manager when they're confronting these kind of decisions on a daily basis?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, act like somebody's watching you all the time. And if you see something, say something. I do believe that a lot of unethical things happen or continue or prevail when people feel like they can't talk about it or they don't have someone to talk to about it. That's why we're trying to raise awareness that, like there are resources for you. I think, I try to act ethically every day in my job. I hope that others do as well. That's not to say that we don't make mistakes, but then own them.
Right.
Right.
We all do things that are not 100% the way we would like people to see us because we're all,
Right.
I agree with that
That's
100%.
right. And give each other grace.
Yeah. One of the things we also encourage people to do when it comes to ethics is communicate with each other. So instead of like doing some sort of social media blast about someone, why not talk to them first and say, hey, why did you do this? Did you realize this was not the best choice?
And quite often that person might not even be aware of what they've done. Give them the opportunity first.
Yes, find out first. Exactly. And then maybe you have to do some additional follow-up. But yeah, find out what's going on first because I know this usually when I blunder, when I don't know the whole story, I don't know the whole
Great.
situation and I'm like going there like gangbusters. What are you doing? Oh, and then you learn the hard way. So,
Right.
but well, Cindy, this has been a great conversation. And it's a little shorter conversation, but ethics is such a big topic. We could
It's
be
massive. Yeah.
so and you have the ethics committee is creating that 7-part module program about the standards of conduct scenarios. We all know scenarios are important. They help us plan, they help us look at the future, they help us get ready for the CAE exam. There's a lot of uses for scenarios. So that's going to be a great tool as well. So, Cindy, before we wrap up, could you share the one thought you'd like the audience to take away today? And then how can they get in touch with you if they'd like to learn more about ethics and what the work of the ethics committee is?
Absolutely. So the one thing I'd like everybody to remember is that there are a lot of resources there for you. And the toolkit, stay tuned for the brand new redone toolkit for next year. I'm excited for that. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can get in touch with me through the Ethics Collaborate community, or you can email me at cziegler@apic.org. And it's Ziegler.
That's great. Thank you so much, Cindy.
Yeah, it's been great. I love talking to you.
Me too. And I was just going to say we've known each other for a long time
Yeah.
now, and I'm so glad that you're here on the podcast. And I know you'll be back because after you begin your tenure as chair of the committee next year, it would love to have you back a few months in, and you can give us
I
some
love
more updates
that.
about where things are. That would be wonderful. So, and again, everyone, Cindy's going to be presenting on ethics at ASA's annual meeting in August 2024. If you're going, look for that on the schedule.
Thanks,
So
Cecilia.
we, oh, you're welcome. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Please, keep talking. So, but everybody knows, you never know what's going to happen on this podcast. So, but Cindy, thank you. Would you like to say anything else before we sign off?
No, just thank you, and thank you to everybody for practicing ethics.
Yay. Oh, that's a great thought. I love that. All right. Well, we have to go rogue for now, but we'll be back next time with another exciting episode. So don't forget to subscribe because you don't want to miss a thing. It's our sixth season, and you don't want to miss anything because we're just still going strong. If you'd like to learn more about Rogue Tulips Consulting and how we can help your organization bloom outside the box, check out our website, roguetulips.com. Chock full of information. If you're looking for a project but don't see it specifically on our list, give me a call or send me an email and we can talk about it. If you're looking for CAE education because you're getting ready to take the exam, or maybe you're looking for some renewal credits, especially in the area of ethics, check out our education program, Rogue Tulips Education, formerly the 501c League. You can find that at the501cleague.net. On behalf of Cindy and myself, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.